Amen, amen. We welcome you back to our Thursday evening Bible study. Bless the wonderful name of Jesus, for truly the Lord is good, and his mercy endureth forever. We're going to get right into our study. Our scripture will be taken from 1 Timothy chapter 2. We're going to continue with 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 2. We're beginning at verse 1. And again, we find Paul addressing Timothy, but this time it is about prayer. Timothy was the son of a mixed marriage. His father is Greek and his mother was a Jew. And you can find this at your own leisure from Acts 16 and 1. And because Timothy's mother was a Jew, I believe this is why he was accepted by the Jews, and by his father being a Greek, in my opinion, is why he could relate to the Greek. In verse 1, it says, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. Exhort means to advise or admonish. Supplications is a petition or a prayer. Intercession can be meditation or a petition or prayer in behalf of another. Paul advised Timothy to pray for all men. He had good reasons to say this since he was sentenced to prison. And we have good reason to do so with the condition this world is in now. Our prayer should not just be for yourself or for people you know or someone who asks for prayer. Amen. We must go beyond the scope of who we know. Before we look at verse 2, let me ask these few questions if you want to write them down. What is prayer? How do we pray? What and how often should we pray? What language? Where should we pray? What is prayer, first of all? Prayer is a dialogue or communication with Father God, where our thoughts and attitudes are meshed or grafted into Father's thoughts. I'm going to say that again. Prayer is a dialogue or communication with Father God, where our thoughts and attitudes are meshed or grafted into Father's thoughts. In other words, real talk between you, Jesus, and God. Let me ask this question. Has anyone ever watched a movie and you had the words at the bottom of the screen because it was a foreign movie, and you had to decide whether to read what was on the screen or to see the screen and not understand what was being said? That is why it's important that we have the proper dialogue and relationship with Father God and Jesus Christ so that we can see clearly. John 15 and 7 said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. When you talk to God, you must be abiding and dwelling in him, which means to live, reside, or give place to him in the word. Otherwise, you will not understand the things going on or what is being said, or what God is trying to do. So how do we pray? We pray according to his word. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean you have to quote scriptures to God, but you don't fuss at God or blame him either. Your prayer is not fleshly based. You talk to God like you would talk respectfully to anyone else. Remember, prayer is a communication with Father God. not at him. It is where your thoughts are engaged or united with his. And it is not one way. God can and will respond to you. Mm-hmm. As your thoughts unite with God, so will your words as you learn his word. You will begin to understand and speak his language better. In the meantime, he knows, understands what you are saying and what you mean. Jesus told his disciples, "And in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you."
And also, Pastor, in 1 John 5, it talks about, and this is John, one of his disciples, it says, "And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us." So we got to have confidence in what we say to the Lord. We just won't say random things. We won't say things out of anger, but we will say things according to his will, that we know what was written, that it will come to pass, and that his word stands forever and it will not change. So you got to have confidence in when you pray to your Father.
Amen. Amen. When the Spirit of God in us, we can do as they began to do. I'm going to say that again. With the Spirit of God in us, we can do as they began to do. We can ask the Father in Jesus' name and he will do it. But again, we must ask according to his will, not our flesh. So what and how often do we pray? Usually people pray when they are in distress, trouble, sorrowful, or misery. These prayers are attached and pertain to flesh only. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 said, "Pray without ceasing," meaning pray all the time. Regardless of what state of mind or condition, talking to God is always merit. We'll see more of this as we go on in this chapter. But here are a few things we should be praying for. We should be praying for our enemies.
Amen.
Those who despitefully use us. Mm-hmm. Praying for laborers. Pray for carnal Christians. Pray that the word may have free course and be glorified. Pray for all men, even those in authority. Pray that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life. Pray for forgiveness. Mm-hmm. Praying is a full-time job. There is always something that we need to pray for or about. But what language do we pray when we're praying? God knows every dialect known to man. Mm-hmm. Can I speak in an unknown tongue to God? He knows that language. How about other tongues? He knows that language too.
Amen.
What about Pig Latin? If you know it, God does too. But I'm not good with words. God knows the heart. He understands your thoughts afar off.
And also in Corinthians, Pastor, it talks about that the Holy Spirit make intercessions on our behalf with groanings that cannot be uttered. So even if you don't know how to speak to the Lord or what to speak on your behalf, the Holy Spirit does. That's why we need to come before him out of a pure heart, honest, not deceitful, but honest before the Lord. He understands your thoughts afar off.
Amen. God knows how to read and understand between the lines. And just as Sister Rosin has stated, I'm going to read the scripture in Romans 8:26. It says, "Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, But the Spirit itself maketh intercessions for us with groanings which cannot be uttered.
Amen.
For better understanding, another writer said it this way. And in the same way, the Spirit is a help to our feeble hearts, for we are not able to make prayer to God in the right way. But the Spirit puts our desires into words which are not in our power to say. Where should we pray? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter where mm-hmm. you pray. It could be in your house, in the neighborhood, mm-hmm. at the grocery store, mm-hmm. in church, mm-hmm. outside church, mm-hmm. on the bed, mm-hmm. in the bed, at the dinner table. Prayer has no special place or time. Mm-hmm. You can pray in the closet of your mind or literally in the closet where your clothes are. You can pray out loud mm-hmm. or in secret where no one hears. Mm-hmm. Prayer is your dialogue between you and God. Now, let's look at verse 2. Verse 2 said, prayer should be for the kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life mm-hmm. in all godliness and honesty. Yes. For us, we pray for the president, the vice president, the cabinet, the president that ain't there no more,
mm-hmm.
senators, mm-hmm. Republicans, Democrats, governors, mayors, judges, police. This includes teachers, mm-hmm. pastors, deacons, superintendents, doctors, nurses. These are people that can cause you not to have a quiet and peaceful life or night.
Amen.
Verse 3 said, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior. It is the desire of God as well as the design of Christ that all men should be saved and be prayed for.
Amen.
If God only wanted certain ones saved, it would make him partial and prejudiced. God says this is good and acceptable. Look at verse 4. Who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth? But we know that is not going to happen. Just like many won't take the shot, many won't take salvation. Listen to what God said in Ezekiel 18:23. He said, have I any pleasure at all that the wicked should die, say the Lord God, and not that he should return from his way and live? God does not want anyone lost. Being lost is by choice. He wants all to come into the knowledge of the truth. Now look at verse 5. For there is one God
Amen.
And one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. There is one God, and prayer should be addressed to him. God provided the salvation through his son Jesus. If God had not given Jesus, he wouldn't have come. Jesus told his disciples, when you pray, say our Father. And whatsoever you ask the Father in my name, that will I do. When Jesus prayed, he prayed to his Father. So when we pray, we are praying to God our Father. It also says in Hebrews 6, for when God made promise to Abraham because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself. There is no other one to swear by. Isaiah 45:18 says, the Lord created the heavens and formed the earth. He established it and he formed it to be inhabited and said, I am the Lord and there is none else. There is no one between God and man. other than Christ Jesus. A mediator is one who resolves between two parties, one who stands in between. No one else can stand between us and God but Jesus. Mm-hmm. No one else has the credentials. No one else can approach God about our sins. Paul identifies the mediator in this verse as the man Christ Jesus. This does not deny the deity of the Lord. But in order to be the mediator between God and man, you have to be both God and man. This fact is indicated in the name Christ Jesus. Jesus is the Son of God, and he is also the Son of Man. Christ being the anointed one from God, Jesus being the man embodied by flesh. Verse 6 says, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. A ransom means the release of a captive in return for a payment of a demanded price. We were the captive that needed to be made free.
Yes.
Jesus was the payment that took place on Calvary.
Amen.
The price was his life, which was paid in full.
Amen.
We know John 3:16 said God so loved the world. No man was exempt. It cost Jesus his life, and it paid for all of us. Whether we accept him or not, his blood was shed for all. Paul says this in verse 7, whereunto I am ordained a preacher and an apostle. I speak the truth in Christ and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. Paul declares his authority to publish the gospel to the Gentiles. Paul is saying, I am set apart. He gave directions to all sorts of people for the regular performance of their duty. And first was concerning the duty of prayer. Paul was letting them know, I received my commission from God, and I speak nothing but what I have received. He has encouraged them to pray everywhere, in the public assemblies, in their private families and apartments, just as we do today. Verse 8, I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting.
Yes.
Our prayers are to be holy, accompanied with faith and charity, without wrath and doubting. It is vain to ask in prayer the favor of God with anger and revenge in our heart against man, or to pray with doubt rather than faith. There must be faith in prayer, otherwise we cannot lift up holy hands without doubt. My time is up, and I thank you for yours.